Welcome to this custom-tailored deep dive. Today is March 7, 2026, and we are diving into a massive stack of briefings, tech white papers, and legal analyses. All of them are laser-focused on the U.S. midterm elections coming up this November.
Right. And it is quite a stack we have today.
Yeah, it really is. And if you are tuning in, you're probably already tracking the rapid advancements in generative AI. But our mission today is to synthesize all this source material and unpack exactly why political analysts and tech experts are literally universally calling this upcoming November the first deep fake election. We're looking at a scenario where the line between fact and fiction hasn't just blurred. Reality itself has practically become optional.
It's a profound shift, you know, in the entire information ecosystem. To truly understand the scale of what we're facing, we have to look at the intersection of several rapidly moving parts.
Yeah.
We aren't just looking at a technology story here, or a political story, or even a legal story. We are looking at all three of those domains colliding all at once.
And the sources point to a very specific imminent moment where this collision goes from theoretical to immediate. The hook running through all these briefings centers around a looming deadline, which is May 19th, 2026. On that day, major social media and tech platforms face a strict deadline to implement their deepfake removal systems. The mandate is that they have 48 hours to take down reported fake content once it's flagged. But, okay, let's unpack this. The math here is what should really have everyone on edge.
Oh, absolutely. The math is the terrifying part.
Right, because the law gives platforms 48 hours to remove a deepfake. But according to the technical specs in our briefings, it currently takes an average user only 2 to 5 seconds to create one.
That mathematical imbalance is the crux of the entire crisis. A 48-hour response window is, I mean, it's a lifetime on the modern internet. If we connect this to the bigger picture, we are basically witnessing a perfect storm. First, we have mature generative AI technology that is now universally accessible. Second, we have a highly polarized national election with control of Congress at stake. That's an environment where partisan emotions are running incredibly high.
Yeah.
And third, we have a completely untested, highly fractured legal system trying to manage the fallout. It is a race between creation and mitigation. And right now, creation has a massive structural head start.
Well, let's focus on that creation piece for a second, because the democratization of this technology over the last few years is staggering. The tech section of our sources highlights some very specific tools that have completely altered the landscape. And the big one currently making headlines is Google's Nano Banana.
Right, which is quite the name.
Yeah, it's the rather absurd internal sounding nickname for Gemini 2.5 flash image. And I know it's hard to take the end of shared reality seriously when the tool causing it sounds like a toddler snack. But our sources note that since its launch in February of 2026, it has already processed over 500 million image edits. That is 500 million edits in just a matter of weeks.
What's fascinating here is the sheer lack of friction. The barrier to entry has completely evaporated. Think about what was required to create a convincing fake image or video even during the previous election cycles.
It was a lot.
Exactly. It required high-end studios, massive computing power, specialized software, and literally weeks of dedicated work by visual effects experts. The briefings detail how Nano Banana requires absolutely zero technical skill.
Zero. You literally just type a natural language description into your phone. You don't need to know how to code. You don't need to understand lighting or rendering. You just type a prompt, you wait 2 to 5 seconds, and you get a 2K photorealistic image, which you can then easily upscale to 4K. It's totally free. But what stands out most in the briefing isn't just the output quality.
It's the grounding, isn't it?
Yes. It's the integration of Google Search grounding. This means the AI pulls in real-time web info. So if you are generating a fake image of a candidate at a rally that happened, say, 2 hours ago, the AI knows exactly what the weather was like today. It knows what the candidate was actually wearing on stage and what the crowd looked like. It makes the fake incredibly contextually accurate without you having to research any of those details.
And that level of instantaneous contextual generation is just for static images. When we look at the video capabilities detailed in the text, the threat vector gets exponentially more complex. Take OpenAI Sora 2, for example. It does for video exactly what Nano Banana does for images. It features advanced text-to-video generation, but more importantly, it offers video-to-video editing with consistent character rendering across frames.
Which used to be the holy grail of AI video, just getting the face to stay the same frame to frame.
Exactly. And now it produces photorealistic 4K content in just minutes for a negligible cost. We have firmly shifted from a paradigm where bad actors spend weeks crafting a single deepfake to a reality where literally anyone with a smartphone can generate hundreds of them during their lunch break.
So I want you to just imagine your own social media feed this coming November. You're scrolling, and suddenly you see a high-definition video of a candidate doing something completely outrageous, or maybe a leaked audio recording of a backroom deal. With the tools we just discussed, how do you know if it's real? Our sources pivot from the technology itself to the actual threat landscape, outlining the four horsemen of election deepfakes. These are four specific types of attacks that are coming our way in the 2026 elections. The first one is candidate impersonation.
This is the most direct application of the technology. It involves fabricated scandals, fake videos of candidates saying controversial things, or highly convincing audio deepfakes of private phone calls. And the strategy here relies entirely on timing. These impersonation attacks are engineered to drop at the very last minute before people head to the polls. They spread virally because they trigger an immediate, visceral, emotional reaction.
And this brings us right back to that math problem we started with. If an audio deepfake of a candidate drops the morning of the election, the platform's 48-hour takedown window is totally useless. By the time the 48 hours are up, the polls are closed and the votes are counted. The lie travels at fiber optic speed, and by the time the truth catches up and the debunking actually happens, the damage is already done.
Which bleeds directly into the second major threat vector outlined in our briefings. Voter suppression 2.0.
Right.
Traditional voter suppression often involve physical barriers, strict ID laws or suddenly closed polling places. Voter suppression 2.0 is an entirely digital operation. It is about scalable, hyper-targeted fear and confusion. The sources describe the deployment of fake announcements regarding polling place changes, false information about voting requirements or times, and even intimidation through fabricated threats.
And it's so localized.
Exactly. A bad actor can use these tools to target specific zip codes or demographics with deepfakes that look like official state broadcasts. They're designed to confuse voters, so they simply stay home.
That strategy is intensely practical. You don't need to convince a highly partisan voter to change their political views, which is incredibly difficult. You just need to convince them that their polling station moved across town or that the voting hours changed. Then we move to the third attack vector, which is social division. The goal here isn't even necessarily about supporting a specific candidate. It's about creating fake evidence to amplify existing social tensions.
It's about manipulating emotional responses to erode trust in all media and institutions. Mm. The perpetrators of this third attack type aren't trying to win a policy debate. They're trying to create a pervasive sense of chaos. The underlying logic is that when nobody knows what is real anymore, the environment becomes completely destabilized. And that makes the electorate highly susceptible to further manipulation.
And that destabilization sets the perfect stage for the fourth and final attack. The sources note this is actually the most dangerous stage of all, which is post-election chaos. This happens after the votes are cast. We are talking about fake evidence of ballot manipulation or entirely synthetic whistleblowers coming forward with fabricated 4K testimonies of fraud.
This raises an important question about the very foundation of our civic systems. Deepfakes in this fourth category are designed to make the actual legitimate election results unacceptable to the public. If you can flood the zone with photorealistic videos of alleged ballot stuffing or generate fake audio of election officials conspiring to alter tallies, you undermine the legitimacy of the entire democratic process. It is no longer just about who wins the specific election. It's about whether the public accepts the concept of the election itself.
Now, anyone following this space is probably asking the obvious question here. Why can't we just detect the fakes? If an advanced AI model makes the image or video, shouldn't an equally advanced AI model be able to spot the digital fingerprints and flag it before that 48-hour window even matters? The sources address this head-on, and the grim reality is that detection is currently a losing game. Both human verification and algorithmic detection are failing, but the mechanics of why they are failing are totally different.
Let's break down the human failure first. Audio deepfakes are already notoriously difficult for the human ear to distinguish from reality, especially if they are presented as a leaked, scratchy phone call. But with visual deepfakes, bad actors are deploying a brilliant psychological trick. They deliberately degrade the visual quality.
This part of the briefing is so fascinating to me. They take a pristine 4K AI-generated video and they intentionally add visual noise. They compress the file repeatedly to create artificial compression artifacts, they add grain, and they lower the frame rate to make the video look like it was hastily shot on a cheap phone camera in poor lighting.
Right, because we inherently associate gritty, low-quality, shaky phone footage with raw, unfiltered reality.
Exactly. By hiding the AI signatures behind intentional degradation, they easily bypass our internal skepticism. We see the grit, and our brain automatically registers it as authentic evidence.
And while humans are being fooled by visual degradation, the AI detectors are failing due to more structural technical issues. The text notes that these detection models suffer from incredibly high false positive rates, which obviously makes platforms hesitant to deploy them aggressively. Furthermore, creators are actively using adversarial techniques specifically designed to defeat these detection algorithms.
For those who might not be deep in the weeds on how adversarial techniques work, it's essentially a mathematical tug of war. The bad actors run the image through a process that adds a layer of invisible noise to the pixel data. To a human looking at the image, it just looks like a normal photo of a senator. But to an AI detector, that invisible noise alters the pixel values just enough that the mathematical classifier gets completely scrambled. It looks at a deepfake and confidently categorizes it as a real human-made photograph.
It is a constant arms race. And right now, the creation side is innovating much faster than the detection side. To compound the problem, there is still no reliable universal watermarking standard across the industry.
None at all.
And even if detection algorithms were perfectly accurate, which they demonstrably are not, the sheer volume of content presents an insurmountable logistical hurdle. We are talking about millions of pieces of synthetic content being generated daily. Fact checkers and platform moderators are completely overwhelmed. The viral spread of an emotional deepfake is exponentially faster than the manual debunking process. We return right back to the math problem. A 48-hour takedown requirement is structurally inadequate when platforms are drowning in the scale of generated content.
The sources also spend significant time on the human element, specifically how confirmation bias supercharges this entire process. We are neurologically wired to believe information that confirms our pre-existing worldview. If you see a deepfake of a politician you already dislike doing something terrible, your brain immediately wants to validate it. Emotional content spreads faster than rational corrections. As the briefings point out, the truth corrections almost never reach the same audience as the viral fake.
This perfectly transitions into the legal and regulatory reality we are facing. How does the law respond to a threat vector that moves faster than human psychology and bypasses algorithmic detection entirely?
Here's where it gets really interesting. The legal response is an absolute patchwork. According to our sources, 47 states have passed deepfake laws. And to show you how fast this is moving, 82% of those laws were passed in just the last 2 years. As of right now, only Alaska, Missouri, and Ohio do not have deepfake laws on the books.
But having a state law is very different from having a unified, enforceable national standard. The breakdown provided in our briefings reveals a deeply chaotic legal landscape. Out of those 47 states, 24 require AI content to be clearly labeled. 26 states have outright bans on election deepfakes. 2 states have highly specific publication bans based on the number of days before an election. And almost all of these disparate laws are relying on that 48-hour platform takedown rule we've been tracking.
And if you're wondering about a national standard, the briefings outline the factual legislative history here. A bipartisan AI election security bill was introduced, but it died in the final hours of the previous Congress. So, just to be completely clear regarding the facts presented in our sources, there is currently no federal framework unifying these rules for the 2026 national midterm elections.
The practical implications of this lack of federal legislation are immense. We have a national election, national campaigns, and global tech platforms. But they're all being forced to navigate 47 different, occasionally contradictory regulatory regimes. It is a recipe for interstate chaos. As that May 19 deadline approaches, the platforms are required to implement this notice and takedown process. But the logistical challenges are monumental. How does a platform uniformly define a valid request across 47 different state definitions?
Yep.
And how do they balance the protection of free speech and legitimate political satire with the necessity of election integrity?
That creates a jurisdictional nightmare. Think about a practical scenario. A campaign manager in Texas flags a video under their state's ban, but the video was generated by a user in New York where labeling might be the only requirement, and it's hosted on a server in California. Whose laws apply? The complexity of executing a 48-hour takedown in that legal web is staggering. So what does this all mean? The sources culminate in one overarching philosophical concept that ties the tech, the threat vectors, and the legal chaos together. It's the most sinister twist in the entire briefing, and it's called the liar's dividend.
The liar's dividend flips the entire script on its head. The concept is that when the public becomes widely aware that everything can be faked, the inevitable result is that nothing can be trusted as real. It provides an automatic built-in shield for bad actors. Politicians and public figures can now dismiss completely authentic, highly damaging recordings simply by waving their hands and claiming, oh, that's a deepfake.
And the briefing explicitly states that half the public will believe them. You can have a real whistleblower step forward with legitimate documents or legitimate journalism uncovering a massive real-world scandal with authentic audio evidence, and it can be instantly discredited. When reality itself becomes optional, truth becomes entirely subjective.
This triggers a massive epistemological crisis. Democracy is fundamentally reliant on a shared baseline of truth. We can debate policy, we can fiercely debate solutions. But if we cannot agree on the basic facts of an event, if we literally cannot trust our own eyes and ears when presented with video evidence, the mechanics of a democratic society start to break down. The Liar's Dividend illustrates that this technological leap is no longer just about who wins or loses a specific race in November. It is about systematically undermining trust in the very fabric of the democratic process itself.
It is a massive amount of information to process. So to summarize what we've unpacked for you today, as we barrel toward the May 19 platform deadline and the November midterms, the technology is undeniably ready. With zero-friction tools like Nano Banana and Sora 2, anyone can generate a photorealistic fake in seconds. But the legal framework, fractured across 47 states and lacking federal cohesion, is absolutely not ready. Mandating a 48-hour takedown requirement is essentially bringing a bucket to a flood when faced with a 2 to 5 second creation tool. We are fully entering an era where reality has officially become optional.
And that new reality leaves us with a critical question to consider. If the digital world completely loses its standard of shared truth, will the future of democracy force us to abandon digital campaigning entirely? Could we see a world where voters become so cynical, so untrusting of any digital screen, that they refuse to believe anything unless they see a candidate speak in person, face to face? It is entirely possible that this unprecedented technological leap forward might ultimately force our highly connected society back to the analog era of town halls, physical paper trails, and localized in-person trust.
That is a fascinating and somewhat sobering thought to leave on. Will the ultimate countermeasure to artificial intelligence just be a forced return to physical reality? Thank you so much for joining us on this custom deep dive into the source material. Keep that question in mind as you scroll through your feeds in the coming months. Stay curious, keep questioning what you see, and we will catch you next time.